The common wisdom in drug treatment is that withdrawal is a long, painful process followed by terrible cravings. But a little-known drug called ibogaine, derived from tree bark, used in Central Africa for certain tribal ceremonies and illegal in the U.S., is being tested by doctors abroad who claim it breaks an addict's cravings through a short but hallucinogenic withdrawal. Alcoholics and addicts have been traveling to Mexico or the Caribbean island of St. Kitts, paying thousands of dollars for treatments, and we'll hear from a respected American doctor who runs a clinic in a moment. But first, many Americans are taking a far riskier route, contacting an underground network here in the U.S. that offers the ibogaine treatment in a motel room or on a friend's couch. Well, someone who's familiar with that is Dimitri Mougianis. He's joining us from Detroit. Hello, Dimitri.
Hello.
And you, if I've got this right, you have both been treated by ibogaine and are now treating others.
Yes,
right?
That's correct.
Right? Yeah. So tell us, first of all, what was the treatment like?
Well, first of all, I had a 20-year addiction to, my whole addiction lasted about 27 years, but to opiates was a 20-year addiction, and I was addicted to cocaine, heroin, and methadone, as well as various other substances just to, you know, work in the mix. In answer to your question, the experience itself was very difficult. I was sick, but I wasn't what they call dope sick. I wasn't going through withdrawal. I was reacting to the ibogaine. I came out of it 2.5 days later, and this for the addicts listening, I came out without withdrawal in 2 days with no desire to use. I was outside of Amsterdam, which is the Mecca for a lot of addicts, you know. I came out without the desire to use.
Well, you know, I'm going to stop you there, Dimitri, because there are people who might be listening who might be flabbergasted by that, because any kind of withdrawal from drugs is usually a long, painful process. So let me ask you about the process that you went through. First of all, was there a doctor there? Was there anybody helping you?
There was not a doctor. I went to Sarah Glatt, who's in Holland, and it's in her home. She has 5 children. It's in the what they call the Green Heart of Holland.
And weren't you were you screened in any way? Did she know how well you were physically?
What she does and what a lot of lay healers do is made sure my EKG was right and my liver panels were okay. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much the screening.
We were all afraid about taking in something that was going to cause this, hallucinatory, what we hear is a nightmarish experience. Were you afraid?
I was very terrified because I was going to have to deal through some stuff. And I was also afraid because there's been some deaths surrounding ibogaine. But I was at the point in my life where I was, I was dead. I couldn't find a vein any longer. I'm a musician and writer. I stopped my art a long time ago. The bodies were piling up around me. And I was at the point where I was willing to do anything because nothing else seemed to work.
So you say that you came out of this experience and had no craving. How long did that last?
This is an individual by individual. For me, I was very blessed and I didn't have a craving. That lasted with the cravings when they did return. And I get them like any other addict, but now I have, like I said, I have some coping devices. Right. You know.
So it's not like some have said, an absolute miracle that you come out of this experience and you'll never crave whatever it is, alcohol, drugs again.
Let me categorically say that is not what it is, okay? It is a miracle. It definitely is a miracle, but that's not the miracle. The miracle is that it interrupts your addiction. If you're lucky, you'll get some insight. If you're lucky, you'll have this cathartic experience I had. But it's a tool. It's a tool in this incredibly difficult and complex and baffling thing called addiction, and it's an amazing tool.
Yeah. So now I understand that you are giving treatments to other people of ibogaine.
Yes.
And that's why you're in Detroit?
I'm in Detroit doing that right now. I've been working on the East Coast, yeah.
How many people have you treated?
As of Saturday, it'll be 36.
This is an illegal substance. How do you get the substance? How do you find the people?
The substance, you can get a lot of illegal substance in, and that's all I really want to say about that. But the people, basically what we did was we went to several methadone clinics. We handed out flyers in front of the methadone clinics. We talked to addicts.
How much are you charging?
We charge from anywhere from $0 to $1,500. It's a real sliding scale. The addict who is working, a middle-class addict is going to help us pay for the addict that is unemployed or indigent in some way.
Mm. Well, as you mentioned, there are reports of people dying.
Yes.
Taking ibogaine. You can go to the web and find websites talking about ibogaine where they caution people to beware of listening excessively to the advice of just one person who's had life-changing experiences with ibogaine. This can kill.
Okay, first of all, that's a really good suggestion that they give there. do a lot of research. Don't listen. And there's some folks that don't like Ibogaine, that didn't have a good experience. They should listen to everyone, and I encourage that. There is the potential for fatality, yeah. As far as I know and what information has been given to me, you know, those surrounded people who used during the treatment, which is very dangerous, and people whose heart wasn't up to it, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm not a doctor. I'm a musician, you know, and an artist.
Well, then that begs the question, what would you do if one of your customers died?
Well, he would be dead. I mean, what would I do? I sit down with someone and I tell them over and over again, there's this risk. All right. Now, if something goes astray, I call 911, and I've only had to do this one time, and I wait for the ambulance, and when I hear the ambulance getting there, I split.
Did that person die?
No, that person did not die. He was going through delirium tremors. He didn't inform us about his alcohol abuse, and there were some complications. He went to the hospital. Everything's fine. He relapsed 4 months later and wants to do another treatment. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was scary.
And so why do you do it?
I did it because I've seen too many people die around me. I did it because I'm sick of the drug wars. I did it because I'm sick of seeing addicts like myself, my brothers and sisters in addiction, treated, like I said, it's not even talking civil rights, we're talking about human rights. This is my right as not as an American, as an individual, a citizen of the world, and it's the right of someone to choose their own medicine.
But why don't you choose it in a place where it's legal and run by doctors and professional clinics in Mexico and the Caribbean?
Mexico is $3,000 or $4,000. To go to St. Kitts is $10,000 to $15,000. What about the addicts who cannot afford that, which is by and large the majority of them? Mm-hmm. What about the addicts who cannot take 2 or 3 weeks off? What about the addicts with children and jobs? Yeah, I mean, it's a risk. First of all, it's ridiculous that I'm doing it. I have to agree with that.
What do you say to those professionals in clinics in Mexico and Caribbean and elsewhere who say that people like you are much like backstreet abortionists?
I take that as an extreme compliment. I would take it because the backstreet abortionists did a hell of a good job in this country for years and years. Thank you.
You mean, and by good job, you mean in helping people who need help?
We help people who need something, yeah.
One last thing.
Yeah.
Dimitri, as you know, this was a storyline on CSI, the popular CBS program, in which they had somebody driving while on Ibogaine, and you're laughing.
Yeah. People can't walk. I mean, let me put that out there, too. There's no potential for abuse for this drug. You're on your back for at least 18 hours to 2.5 days. There's no way you're going to drive. You're not going to go to a party. You know, it's work. It's a hard deal.
And Dimitri, again, how long have you been sober?
It'll be 3 years on May 21st.
No lapse.
Pardon me?
No lapse, no heroin.
No heroin, no alcohol, no marijuana, no cocaine. I can't put the cigarettes down, though.
Dimitri, thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Dimitri Mougianis, who gives illegal Ibogaine treatments to other addicts here in the U.S. Well, Ibogaine is controversial even where it's legal. When we return, a researcher who runs the Ibogaine clinic in St. Kitts tells us why she's so excited about the drug, but also so concerned about illegal users like Dimitri. There's more ahead, here and now. I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. Well, we just heard from a recovering addict, Dimitri Mougianis, who claims he's been clean for almost 3 years after using a controversial treatment of an illegal drug called Ibogaine. Well, now we want to turn to Dr. Deborah Mash. She's a professor at the University of Miami School of Medicine and a respected researcher who runs the Ibogaine clinic we spoke of earlier on the island of St. Kitts. And Dr. Mash, first of all, what's your response to Dimitri Mougianis, who is offering Ibogaine treatments illegally to other addicts here in the U.S.?
Fear and loathing. I understand this sense of being a true believer, and I applaud his own personal recovery, but I am frightened and appalled by anyone who would think that Ibogaine should be given by people who are unlicensed in settings that are ridiculously unsafe. Mm-hmm. there are adverse events that can occur and that have occurred.
Some might say you are using the drug outside the United States when it's illegal and hasn't been approved by the FDA. Are you concerned about the drug itself?
I am not. I've done over 400 offshore treatment episodes in the context of a standardized research protocol. The FDA did give us permission to test the drug in the United States. The reason that we didn't go forward in the U.S. was because of lack of funds, and that's why we went offshore, was to try to obtain good scientific data that was done under appropriate conditions so that we could present this to the scientific and the medical community so we could ask our colleagues and peers to allow us to go forward.
Right. Well, let me play devil's advocate for a second, because as you heard, some of these desperate addicts also say they are using Abogame in the United States illegally, also because of a lack of funds. They don't have enough money to travel to St. Kitts or to Mexico, where it's also given legally by doctors. Do you have some sympathy for that?
If someone wants to help this movement, then the best thing we can do is to put some pressure on appropriate channels to bring this forward. But what my fear is, with sanctioned use, I think what it may do is close the door on safe Ibogaine treatments forever.
What is the benefit?
We think that there is some aspect of the Ibogaine experience that helps individuals deal with their unresolved issues or perhaps early life experiences that may have been traumatic. And they also seem to feel that they've been given a second chance or a new start. So in addition to alleviating the cravings and the withdrawal signs, there's a somewhat of a spiritual renewal where they are able to set the resolve to stop using drugs and alcohol.
An acquaintance of mine who did this, who had this experience, said it was horrific, indescribable.
Well, yes, I believe that Ibogaine is not a pleasant journey, certainly. It's hard work where you're actually reliving some of your bad behaviors, and it may not paint a pretty picture.
It sounds like it can also be very dangerous.
We have not seen adverse psychiatric effects from Ibogaine. The visionary experience, which under our treatment protocol lasts anywhere from 4 to 6 to 8 hours.
Do they actually see visions? Is that what you're speaking of?
The screens drop and there appears to be almost like a movie. They're watching a movie. They're getting a life review. And these kinds of images that come up seem to provide a way of sort of re-engaging the frontal lobes of the brain to help individuals to say, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm done with this. And what we've learned from individuals who have taken the Ibogaine themselves, who have done other drugs like LSD or ecstasy for that matter, they tell us that Ibogaine is unlike any of those other substances, that this is something really unique in a class by itself. The reason that I got interested in this over a decade ago was because I saw the original treatments in the Netherlands. I saw individuals who had desperately tried to kick habits to heroin and methadone, come off of their addiction without any signs of withdrawal, and they were clean and sober and not craving drugs for months thereafter. And we have since discovered that Ibogaine itself is what is called a prodrug. It gets actively metabolized by the body to a metabolite, which we believe holds the pharmacologic principle. That is, the ability to block the signs and symptoms of opiate withdrawal and diminishing drug cravings.
It may quell those cravings, but how do you address the underlying symptoms that a lot of addicts might have that have sent them to the drug in the first place?
And that's a very important question, and that's why we believe that these, you know, Ibogaine is not a magic bullet. We know that individuals that have abused drugs and alcohol suffer from depression or other illnesses that they might be self-medicating. So if you strip away the drug that's been self-medicating them and you don't provide an aftercare plan, you're setting them up for further relapse and failure.
Doctor, you know that there are people listening to this struggling with addictions who, this sounds like a miracle.
My heart goes out to them. I myself am someone who suffered with a loved one who died from alcohol dependence. Ibogaine is an important first step on the road to recovery. I think that we can and we will be successful in making this available to individuals who need this drug.
In the meantime, how much does it cost to go to your clinic in St. Kitts?
The St. Kitts program, which is a one-week program, is $8,500 all-inclusive. Treatment protocols in the United States for detox is $700 to $1,000 a day that are insurance paid in part.
And yours is not covered by insurance. So do you envision a time when Ibogaine will be mainstream medicine approved by the FDA in the U.S. and perhaps covered by insurance?
Well, I think that it could. Well, the issue here is who's going to pay for the drug development. You can imagine that you can put the metabolite in a patch or use it orally as an alternative to the Ibogaine itself. We have not seen any Schedule I drugs that are hallucinogens that have been approved for use, and certainly Big Pharma has not endorsed them. We know that the metabolite is not going to be psychoactive. It's not going to have the visionary experience that the young man described earlier in the show. But what a slam dunk if we can combine this with, you know, the other programs that are out there.
Dr. Deborah Mash is a professor at the University of Miami School of Medicine. For more information on Ibogaine and her clinic, go to our website, here-now.org.